This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. I'm Ben.
I'm Ashley.
And we have a surprise guest with us in studio today. We also have...
Wells Adams.
Hey, Wells Adams.
It's like I've never done this before.
Literally 3 minutes ago, he was like, I don't think I'm going to be part of the podcast. And we just like got him some headphones and a mic, and there he is.
Well, when you have a talent like Wells Adams in studio with you, we have to use him. So, and we also have a lot to talk about. Obviously, this week there has been a lot going on. There was a tragedy that took place in the United States that we need to talk about, because all three of us, Ashley, Wells, and myself, were in Vegas together for the iHeart Radio Festival last weekend. And we stood at the same spot that this tragedy took place. And Wells was actually working that show all day. And I know when I heard the news about the shooting, it hit deep. Not only because personally I said, I've been there, but also because I know how excited I was and how freeing it was to be at that festival, to listen to music, to take my mind off of the world, to celebrate with people, to see friends, to hug the people around me, right? And I just, when I heard this news, it was sad because it took that all away. Mm-hmm. It worries me that at what events now can we just be free? So I want to hear you guys' thoughts on last weekend and kind of your response to the tragedy that took place this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at just the scenery and just thinking about how great of a time we all had last week. And it was just like one of those moments together where you're just like, wow, my life is great. I love life. We're just having a blast. And now to just look at the same place and I guess it's just sort of ruined. I don't think I'm ever going to look at it the same again. And thinking about all the things, how that could have happened last week when we were there, just the same big gathering. How many people were at the iHeart Festival outside that day? Like 25,000 or something?
So many, yeah.
So it's like the exact same thing, and he just could have chosen to do it last week.
When these tragedies happen, you inevitably put yourself in those positions, right? Like, what would I have done? What was crazy for us is that we were literally there. Like, when I was watching TV this morning, I was like, that was my vantage point when I was filming all day. Like, that's exactly where we were, which is just terrifying. I don't know, like, this whole thing is so sad, and you can't make any sense of any of it. But I mean, like, as a guy who's like lived in the music industry for so long, you're right. Like, concerts like that are to bring people together, and you can't let fear now ruin that going forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be scary to go to big events like that, but I feel like, as Americans, we just need to, like, not stop doing that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, I think the word that's the trendy word right now that represents the culture we're living in and the times we're living in is divisiveness. You keep hearing it, right?
Yeah.
Who's being divisive, who's not? So a situation like this, our first response is it divides us from the joy at which a concert or an entertainment event can bring us. I want to encourage everybody, including myself, because I was talking to my family this morning, and my mom was like, how are you ever going to go to an event and feel safe anymore? Kind of like you just said. And I think our response as people is we're just not going to let it divide us. I don't know how we do that, but we have to join together and say, we're going to choose to love. We're going to choose to combat the evil that is out there with good. I just don't know how.
I remember after the Boston marathon bombing.
Yeah.
I remember signing up for the Nashville race like the next day, because I was like, listen, everyone's going to be scared to go run, but like that can't be the response that we have, you know? Mm-hmm. We need to, like, I don't know, like, I'm going to go to more shows now, you know? And I think that's the only way you can do it.
It's a courageous outlook. We have two people on the line who are a part of our Bachelor family, who we care about deeply, who call Vegas home. They're at this festival for two of the nights, and they know people very close to this tragedy. We want to bring them on. That's Emily and Haley, the twins from Vegas. Emily and Haley, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, that was really sweet.
It was harmonized.
And everything.
So when were you guys there?
So we were there Saturday night, and it's crazy because we were watching Sam Hunt, and in the exact same area where it's like so hard to talk about when just thinking about it. The exact same area where we were standing on the side of the stage where the gunman had shot from the Mandalay Bay. And so we were on the side of the Mandalay Bay. So just thinking if he had chosen to shoot on Saturday, I mean, just it's just terrifying to think about. And it just feels so blessed and lucky that Sunday we weren't able to get tickets to go to this concert. Oh, wow. So I just feel like it was just like a blessing in disguise. But my heart, I mean, honestly, Haley and I are just, and so like, I honestly don't even really have words. It's just crazy because all of our friends, like Haley and I woke up to like 200 missed texts, so wow. many missed calls, like just so many people thinking about us and all of our friends, making sure all of our friends who went were okay. I mean, the most terrifying thing ever.
My friend was actually there last night. She had posted an Instagram a couple hours before Jason Aldean took the stage. So I texted her. I go, based on your Instagram, looks like you got out of there early. And she goes, yeah, I recently saw Jason Aldean, so we decided to leave an hour early. I was like, what a blessing.
Yeah, I was calling all of my friends there who were there, and the service is just so terrible that they're like, mm-hmm. you can't get in touch with them. But I was texting with my Pilates instructor, and they were actually, like, hiding. They were ducking down, and she's like, I'm so scared right now. Like, I had a friend who, she was there hiding with her friend, and somebody had gotten shot right next to her in the leg. Like, people were, like, running and, like people's legs are just so cut up from just hopping over fences. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was just a nightmare. Yeah. And then we have a friend in the hospital who was grazed by a bullet in his arm, but luckily he's okay. It's just like right now people there, I guess there's like a desperate need for blood donations. Not like the blood banks are full already in Las Vegas right now, but they need people to come back tomorrow to donate blood. And then over the next few days, because there's 500 plus people in hospitals waiting to either have surgery or get blood.
Yeah, that brings us to a good place in the podcast. I want to take a second here and kind of communicate to everybody out there how you can help. And one of those ways, as the twins just mentioned, is to give blood. You can give blood in your local community. It's extremely important. But if you would also like to, there's a couple places in Vegas. So if you're in Vegas coming up, there's a blood bank in Carson City, in Las Vegas, in Reno, in Sparks, in Henderson. So if you're in the Vegas area or the Los Angeles area or any place you are in the United States, please consider giving blood right now because of the injuries that occurred, which at this point we have a number up over 500. Mm-hmm. Blood will be running short, and it is our way to give back. So with that, I would like to just ask everybody to take the time to go to their local blood bank today. Emily and Haley, I have a question. What, I guess, I don't know if you've been to the Strip or kind of if you've had time to get downtown, but what is the overall feel of Las Vegas this week?
Absolutely. Like, I think that everybody right now, I mean, the lines are just out the doors at the blood bank. People are out there passing out waters. Like, people are just volunteering their time, passing out food. My brother, he's a 911 dispatcher, and luckily he wasn't working last night, but he is going to the first responders, and he's giving it food and stuff. So, like, everybody, it's just amazing how
and
everybody's come
Uber
together.
Uber is giving free rides to all the blood locations. So if you call an Uber, you get a free ride to go donate blood and a free ride back home. So that's honestly just so amazing. People are just excited to help and donate, which makes me love Las Vegas even more, just to realize how amazing these people are and how selfless everyone's being. And not to mention that I heard stories of people staying behind to help people off mm-hmm. the floor who had been wounded to help them get out of the venue. So it's just honestly amazing to see us come together as, you know, the state of Nevada and just be so supportive of each other and help each other and pick each other up.
I don't know if you could communicate this, but we were just talking before you came on, you know, we were at the iHeart Music Festival last weekend in that same area. And
and you guys were at Life is Beautiful.
Right. Yeah, no, but you guys were pretty freaking close to the Mandalay Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for us, right, my first response was, what would I have done? How does this make me feel if I was in this situation? For the two of you, as you sit, as you sat there and you heard the news and you're at the festival on Saturday night, personally, how does this affect you? And then how do you bring a community together post-tragedy like this?
I mean, it's just, it's such a tragic, tragic event. I mean, it's just so scary to even, like, think that we could have been there. But, I mean, like, it's just amazing how everybody's, like, coming together. I have a link in my bio on my Instagram to help donate to the victims. There's still a ton of people awaiting to have surgery. So I know a lot of, like, families are out there waiting for their family members to receive surgery. So I mean, it's crazy. There's a ton of people, families in the hospitals. It's like just going to give food to those people who are just waiting in the waiting room for their family and friends to come, like, you know, get surgery and just, you know, be safe. So I mean, it's just such a scary situation. And I was talking to Emily, it's like, what would we have done? Like, I have no idea what I would have done in a situation like that. I guess
I was just like thinking, I'm sorry, I was like hearing that it, I don't know, I'm not really sure how all this would work, but I hear, like, the people who had ducked were getting trampled over, so it's kind of like, do you run, do you duck, or, like, what do you do? And so I guess, like, now, like, thinking about how lucky we are that we weren't there, we're thinking of if this were to happen in the future, what's the first thing you do? And you would just have to educate yourself and, like, learn from this and, you know, learn that, you know, you need to be able to find places to hide, that to take cover. It's just kind of crazy. Like, maybe ducking isn't the best choice. It's honestly just terrifying to think about that, like, it did happen and that could have been us. And, like, what should we have done? What's the right answer? And I just kind of feel like listening to people, they were like, there really was no right answer. That everywhere you went, everywhere you turned, everywhere you would hide, you still felt like you were going to die.
Well, a tragedy like this, unfortunately, in your local area, your role is now different than ours. You know, I live in Denver and Ashley here in Los Angeles, Wells in Nashville. Your role in Los Angeles or Las Vegas is a little bit closer to the situation, but it doesn't mean that people outside of Vegas still can't help, right? Giving blood, preparing for situations like this, no matter how tragic, but prepare people so the process of recovery is easier, it is extremely important. So now we all have a role. Go to your local blood bank, especially if you're in the Vegas area. Donate, help. Even the smallest acts can go a long way. Emily and Haley, we appreciate you coming on. Good luck. And we will be, I'd like to say praying for you, but really it's action now. You know, prayers are great, but it's the action that's taken place that will help this get better. So take action and lead that charge.
Thank you for calling and just spreading the word and helping, you know, people be aware of this. And we really appreciate you guys doing that.
No problem.
Speaking of taking action, Haley Naiman, this is Wells, by the way. Obvious. Hi, guys.
Hi,
I miss your faces.
I miss your face.
obviously, like, you guys are, you know, you're there. And I assume that you guys are going to host something or put something together where we're going to try to raise money. So just, you have our phone numbers, obviously. When that stuff happens, let us know. We'll be on the first flight out to help promote and raise money and do whatever we can, you know.
That'd be great.
God, you guys are so awesome. So
Thank you.
We appreciate all your support. You guys are amazing. And just the fact that you guys are calling from a different state and just being here for us, that's honestly just so heartwarming. It's amazing.
Well, thanks, girls. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Thanks for having us. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you.
So we're going to move in now to one of our sponsors that helped this podcast keep going, right? If this podcast doesn't exist, we can't communicate and help spread a message of recovery like we just did. So yeah. I want to thank Movement Watches for sponsoring this podcast. Movement Watches was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 1 million watches sold to customers around the world, Movement Watches is the world's fastest-growing watch company. I'm not kidding. This company was started by two broke college kids. They wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them, so they started their own watch company. Movement Watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking at a, you know, $400 to $500 value. So here's the call to action. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/almostfamous. Okay, that's movement, MVMT.com/almostfamous. This watch has a really clean design. Seriously, I've been getting compliments ever since I put mine on. I got a black one. I'm going to be ordering a gray one here soon because it goes with everything I think gray does. I don't know, Ashley. You could tell
black
me later.
Black goes with everything.
Oh, whatever. So go to MVMT.com/almostfamous to get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns. Join the movement and help keep this podcast going.
Well, it's definitely going to be an odd transition, but we here want to make you smile during a rough week like this week. But let's share a funny story from last week in Vegas. Wells, the storyteller of us all.
What do you?
You told some. You told some stories on your podcast.
Yeah, did it make you mad that I told that story?
No. It's plug your podcast. What's your favorite thing?
My podcast is with Brandi Cyrus. It's called Your Favorite Thing Podcast. We're just talking about our favorite thing. And my favorite thing in the podcast last week was the night that we all went out together.
I was the only girl. I was like living every Bachelor Nation fan's fantasy. I was with Wells, Peter, and Dean, and I was the only girl.
Yeah, you've never seen someone more like in paradise than, I shouldn't use the word paradise because that hasn't worked well actually.
No, I was going to say it was much better than paradise. It's actual paradise.
It was just funny to see like the look on your face. Like,
was it that obvious? Everything's always written on my face.
Yeah. You have a terrible poker face.
I know.
In Vegas, especially. But yeah, you like at the Gordon Ramsay dinner, like you wedged between Peter and Dean.
No, I didn't. What are you talking about? I sound like you are lying for the sake of good radio.
No. I would agree with Wells.
Wait. He taught me his radio tricks because I was listening to his podcast this weekend and like texting him while I was doing it. I was like, wait a second.
What did I say? To you.
You said that I went to go change my shoes.
Yeah,
but
which
you think
you did.
I probably went to like go get a fart bubble out.
That's what I said.
I feel like he was a little nicer with the shoes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got to hear this story. Please continue.
Okay, yeah, so you didn't come out with it. You were feeling sick that night.
I was sick, yeah.
So poor Peter, I think, has been living in this like sheltered little like pre-being the Bachelor bubble where he I think he's just like, I don't want to go out and like probably make stupid decisions or like get caught in a precarious situation. So he's not, and he's also living in like Wisconsin, which I imagine isn't like the party capital of the world. So that night he was like, I want to go out. I want to go to a club. So we were like, yes, let's do this. And so it was me, Dean, Peter, and we were like, well, who wants to go? And Ashley's like, well, I want to go.
I did not do it like that. We were all just gonna go. Oh, no, he's exaggerating for the sake of a good story.
Yeah,
it's
a good story. So keep going.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That's
Ashley.
That's what he says. I'm gonna learn this.
So so we were like, okay, let's go to a club. And Ashley was like, I have to go up to my room. And I said on my podcast that you changed your shoes, but I'm pretty sure you went to go doo-doos. I don't know.
I actually did not, but it was because I left my suitcase in Becca's room and Becca decided to stay in. So I was like, well, I got to go transfer my suitcase from her room to my room.
I like the story of you going to
doo-doos. I know, it's far more interesting.
We know
like
what
that.
Is going on. So we ended up going, we wanted to go to a club. And so we went to like the first one that we could find. And, you know, there's like long lines. You got to pay to get in. And we didn't have like someone like coming and like whisking us into VIP, you know? And so I was like, well, let's just pay. And Peter was like, no, I got this. So he went up to the bouncer, bouncer.
I felt very awkward.
Yeah, like I have a hard time with this stuff too. But so that I was like, okay, do it. So he went up to the bouncer. And this is Peter, like the guy that was supposed to be the bouncer, right? And he's like, hey, listen, buddy, I'm here with Dean Unglert, however you say his name, and Wells Adams, and Ashley Iaconetti from Bachelor in Paradise. We kind of want to get in. And the bouncer's like, I've never heard of these people. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Good reality check for everyone out there.
And the head sink.
By the way, like I think like big bouncers aren't like our
demo.
Target demo on the Bachelorette.
No.
That's right. So we did. So that happened, and then we were like, "Well, let's go to another one." So he went and tried to do it again. Same exact thing, like three or four times. We're like we think we're so cool, and then it was like three clubs in. We're like, "This is not looking good." So finally, I'm like, "Screw it! I'm gonna pay for us to get in."
Oh no!
So I was like, someone like on the strip was like, "You want to go to this club? Here's a card." So I was like, "Well, we're going this place." So we show up. And I hand him the card. Card doesn't do anything, by the way.
Did not do anything? I thought it gave us like $10 off.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
So I paid to get in the club.
For all of us.
For all of you guys.
So very generous. And I was going to be like, I'm going to stay for 10 minutes. Because like once it hits like 1:30.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I ended up having a good time when I got in there. But the first couple of seconds we walk in there, there's no place to sit. We're like a very crowded bar. And I'm like, God, this is not going to happen. And then this guy comes. It happened.
It did.
A guy came up to Wells. He was just like one of the managers.
He's a manager, yeah.
And he's like, hey, big fan, dude. Do you guys need a table? Well, and then they walked us over to this gigantic booth just for the four of us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am living the effing life.
Yeah. Well, so the same thing happens to me now. Every club or bar I go to, they're like, hey, do you want to go back and bartend? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I'm not a good bartender, I promise you.
I just want to hang out. Well, you know, to close this up, I do have some videos on my phone that hopefully will go public soon of Ashley just giving googly eyes to Peter and
Dean
and Wells
the whole
week.
You guys
are
really exaggerating. I was way cooler than you're making it seem. Like,
no, you're
I was
cool.
on my good behavior. I didn't cry. I didn't get emo over anyone.
It's true.
No, just got very... very into
just,
a few of the people there.
I'm just cool.
You are cool. You're very cool, Ashley. You know who else is cool? Our caller on the line. We have our favorite segment, Who the Heck Are You?
There you go.
Erica, who the heck are you?
Hey.
Hey, Erica Rose. Erica, give us a little background on who you are, whose season you're from, and what's new in your life.
Okay. Well, I was on originally... season 9, which I can't believe was like
originally,
almost 11 years ago.
Pardon? Originally?
Yeah, I mean, it was literally 11 years ago.
Whoa, I only remember you from, what was your second season?
I mean, like, so I was on Prince Lorenzo Borghese's season.
Okay.
And then did a show on VH1 called You're Cut Off. And then Bachelor Pad 2 and 3, which, as y'all know, before Paradise, there was Bachelor Pad.
You were also, weren't you like a kissing guru on Love at First Kiss?
Love at First
Kiss. Oh my God, yes! Way to dig out some good dirt, Wells.
Wait,
oh my
well, how
gosh,
do you become
how
a kissing...
awkward was that?
Well, actually, so y'all know Bennett, obviously, one of the producers, was doing... that show, you know, and he was in charge of it, and he called me the night before, and I was living in LA at the time, and he's like, I need your help, because on Bachelor Pad, we had a kissing competition, and I didn't even win, actually, my friend Ella won, but he's like, I know we're pretty good at kissing based on that kissing competition, and they literally spent, like, hours trying to find an actual kissing coach, and there wasn't one, so he's like, I feel like you would be really good at it. Would you be willing to, though, actually show the guy how to kiss? And I was like, yeah, you know, I guess so. So that's kind of how it happened.
It was the guy that never kissed anyone before.
Oh, my God, that's right.
He was so awkward.
And he was really bad at it when he tried, right?
Yeah, but then I, like, ended up really helping him, and he's been, like, so grateful about it and, like, still reaches out to me and thanks me and everything. So it made me feel really happy in the end.
That's a very important lesson to teach someone. You could, like, actually make a career out of it, but now you're engaged, right, with babies?
Yes. Now I'm engaged. My daughter just turned 1. So it's been, like, a really, you know, a fun year, a challenging year. You know what I mean? I broke up with her dad.
Oh.
So that was really hard. And I moved back to Houston, you know, and so that was a transition. And so I'm just happy, you know, that everything's going well now in my life because it was a path to get there.
So the guy that you went to Jaden Tanner's wedding with, that's that's your daughter's father?
That's Holland's father, Galen. And we really both tried our best to make things work, honestly. We both really did. And it's just like at the end of the day, we really weren't compatible, unfortunately. But sometimes that's just how it is. We made a beautiful baby. Neither of us would ever take that back, you know. And we just have to focus on being good parents.
So how did you meet your fiancé, Charles?
So Charles and I actually met back in high school. The first time we met was at junior prom, and we found a picture of it, which is so funny. And neither of us look our best in the picture, and we're like, no wonder we didn't date in high school. But he was actually my best friend Brittany's date. And the guy I went with, she ended up dating after that. So it's just really funny. And now she's happily married with a child, you know. And she was the one that he and I had matched on Bumble. But aside from that, Brittany told me he was interested. And I was like, really? Because I ran into him at one of my mom's charity events, and I couldn't really tell, you know. And I was like, okay, you know. But I asked him, I was like, I won't go out with you if you're secretly still in love with Brittany. And he's like, I'm not still in love with her. That was so long ago. So I agreed to give him a chance.
That is so cool. I love stories where you guys knew each other way back when and then reconnect.
It's really weird to think about, you know, that someone could have been in your life this whole time, but like not like a huge part of your life, just someone kind of like in the background, you know?
Yeah. I like to think that too. It seems like less daunting of a search to be like, oh, you know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know him.
I always thought I'd
figure out which one.
No, like a mysterious person. And then it's weird. Like we would have never imagined it was each other, you know?
Nice.
So to move in to the one thing that we're all experts on. We got a transition here. You found your love, which we got to celebrate and be excited for. We have a new bachelor who is currently searching for his love, and that's Ari. He also, I think, is a self-proclaimed, or his girlfriends proclaim him as a kissing expert.
I never got to know that from experience, but he and I did a bachelor edition of Wipeout together a few years ago when they did that, and I thought he was really cute, but he ended up going home with or whatever someone else, and she said the same thing. I'm not going to call her out, but
she said that he was a good kisser.
Yes, anyone I know that's had experience with him, you know, says that he is one of the best kissers and good at other things too.
Good old Ari. Okay, Erica, you got to fill me in a little bit here. Because this is going to be a huge storyline in Ari's season. How do you become a good kisser? Like, what defines a good kisser? I heard somebody say that Ari was very, like, intense and kind of, like, sucked the face in.
That was me.
Yeah, sucking the face in has never been something I think I would appreciate.
No. It's not sucking the face in. Actually, he, like, uses a lot of lip.
Yeah.
And he uses a lot of hand on the jaw.
Yeah, hand the jaw behind the neck.
That's one thing I told my, I guess, client or whatever on Love at First Kiss, and I learned that from Ella on my season of Bachelor Pad. She was the one that won the kissing competition. So before I had to go and coach him, I literally found it on YouTube and watched Ella's advice. And that was one of her advice. And then also it was change it up. Like, don't just like stick the tongue in the whole time and keep it there. Because that's like too much. Like,
you don't just leave it in there.
Just let it flop
in there.
Yeah. Because you don't want to be like overly aggressive. Mm. But at the same time, if you don't use any tongue, then I feel like, you know, I don't know. It's just not as good.
I guess it could get a little boring. Wells, you're a pretty good expert at kissing.
Am I?
Yeah. Well, we all know that I have just talked about Wells' kissing skills over and over again on my podcast.
Really?
Yeah. I always praise you on this. Oh, my God. You are so good.
But you also,
and I'm going to call you out here.
Yeah.
I think maybe the only non-bachelor, you might have the highest tally of kissing girls for a non-bachelor. I've counted, and I think it's like 8 or 9.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
Why are you putting me on blast right now?
Wells, thanks for coming in today.
You guys have been great.
There's one that I have not confirmed yet, so I say it's 8, which is a lot, but that's, you know, a testament to who you are as a very sexy, good kisser man.
Hold on. I want to... Thanks. Here's my question. Everyone's got like a go-to kissing move. What is everyone's, like, one thing that they do?
After a little bit, I guess I like to, like, go to the ear.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Ear.
Is it only are you only lobe, or do you, like, get up in there?
I mean, you start with the lobe.
And then you get up in
there? And then you kind of see the reaction.
Yeah. And then do you, like, breathe heavy into the ear as well?
Is that cute? Is that sexy?
Two thumbs up over here.
Okay, well, okay. I'll incorporate that next time.
Ben, what's yours?
I guess I'm a big hand behind the head.
Yeah.
And honestly, at the kind of the very end, I do like to bite the lip.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
Not bite hard, just a little bit. Just like, hey, I've been there.
Yeah.
You know?
this is mine now.
Yeah. I want you to feel this.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Erica, what's yours?
Wait, what's yours, Wells?
Mine's probably like touching the face and then possibly like their leg, just depending, you know.
We're talking about kissing here.
We're talking about the face.
And by the way, I don't like my face touch. So if I like,
you don't like your face touch.
Some people don't like it.
No, I'd probably back away a little bit.
Yeah.
But not because of the kissing. I just ask that we kiss and don't touch them. Yeah, I'm just the oils.
I worry about breaking out too. I don't like it when people touch my face, but in an intimate way, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Wells, what's your trick?
Well, you've kissed me.
I don't know.
I'm a bottom lip. Not a biter, sucker.
Oh,
you know.
Okay. How do you do that?
You just suck on the bottom lip a little bit.
Yeah. See, that's why I like. I like that he's sucky.
What are you really saying here?
All right, we got to get off this conversation because
Ashley's
going to get so excited over here. Let's get back to Bachelor. So. for all of you teenagers out there that listen to the show, we just gave you a nice 4-minute segment on how to make your kissing life better. You can thank the Almost Famous podcast later. Make sure to tag us in all of your tweets. Erica, here's the deal. Yeah. How's Ari going to do as a bachelor?
I think he's going to be really good. Yeah. I mean, a lot of us that have known him have thought he should be the bachelor for like a while now. And I don't think he's like, you know, he's 35. Like, that's the perfect age. I genuinely believe he's ready to settle down, knowing him, you know, as a personally, and knowing that he's been in a serious relationship. And I feel like he's at a point in his career, too, where he's not, like, you know, running around, like, doing races all the time, where he really could find the right person. Plus, I just think he's so cute. He's going to be really engaging. He's genuine. Women really do go crazy over him. So I think it'll be interesting to see what type of girls are on his season too, you know, because it's been so different every season recently.
That's what I was just going to ask you. So do you like the way that we're doing a throwback season? And what do you think about, what do you think about the current cast and how it's evolved since you've been watching it? You've been
watching this series. Personally didn't watch that much of The Bachelorette, even though I loved Rachel. I just didn't like a lot of her guys, honestly. But I watched Paradise, and I've watched every season of Paradise. But it was just funny to me. I'm like, if you compare this cast to, like, you know, Bachelor Pad season 2 or 3, it's just so different, you know, and the show's changed so much. Like, things that we all can talk about now, like sex or just anything, like, they would not let us talk about back then. Like, they were very into being, like, super wholesome. It was, like, ABC, you know. And so I think it's, I guess it's had to evolve with time, but I think that maybe this season will be like a good combination of like the past and the present in its own way.
I want to ask you a question, Erica, because I feel like you were on the show before social media kind of changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people go on the show now purely to like sell diff eyewear?
A lot of people do. Yeah, I think so. I mean, when we first did The Bachelor, it was 2006. Facebook was the only social media. And we had to, like, deactivate our Facebook, you know, even just to go film. And my friends were like, where are you? Like, what's wrong? But, like, there was no – you don't promote anything on Facebook, or at least back then you didn't, you know. And so there was people really, like, the girls on my season, I will tell you, like, were there, like, genuinely for this, like, fairy tale experience. The guy was a prince. some of them admitted they were there for, like, a cool free trip to Rome. Mm-hmm. But no one was really there to be famous. I mean, that was, like, not really on anyone's mind. Honestly, people really wanted to, like, get married. They thought that was exciting. You know, back then there was, like, Us Weekly and People Magazine, mm-hmm. but you really couldn't make money off of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just think that, you know, things are so different now. Like, I know so many girls, when I lived in L.A., that would tell me they wanted to be on the show just to, like, help their careers and, like, you know, I guess I don't blame people, but at the same time, it's hard. It must be hard for casting, you know, to find the right people.
Yeah. It's interesting because even this has been when I was on The Bachelorette, which was on Caitlin's season 3 years ago, we started that season without the idea of social media. It kind of catapulted really between the time that on The Bachelorette and The Bachelor is when Instagram and the Twitters of the world became really popular.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those guys that are on my season still don't have that big following because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
And our intention, I mean, we had a blast, right? You said it right. Some people went to just have a good experience, which I think is really probably the reason to do it. And then if you fall in love, great. But I never, ever remember a conversation existing during my time on The Bachelorette with any of the guys thinking, oh, after this, I'm going to promote this and have this. That wasn't even a conversation.
I know. Same here. So it's just like really fun. You know, it's just so different now.
It was for Will's season, though. How many guys during your season were like, oh, if I don't end up with her, at least I'm going to make money off Instagram?
I never heard of a social influencer before. Mm-hmm. And then like everyone was like, that's my job now. I'm moving to L.A. and going to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh,
wait, but hold on. Like, so now you watch, because I think it happens to all of us. We get jaded. We think that our season was the best or whatever. And then you start watching the show and you're like, God, I hate these people.
Yeah. I mean, there's been other seasons. I liked JoJo's season.
Good. That's what I was on.
I did also like Caitlyn's season. Ben, I liked your season too, honestly.
I have only met
Nick a few times, so I think I expected more from him as The Bachelor because I met him only like once in real life, but I thought, I don't know. I feel like they didn't have the right girls there for him. I think that was the problem, but I was disappointed by that season. And then same with Rachel's season. That's just how I felt recently.
How do you feel about, like, those new guys from Rachel's season, just as a whole?
I wouldn't have been, like, when I watched Paradise, I was like, I wouldn't have been into any of these guys.
Oh, my God.
Like, I had met Ben Z, you know, in the past, and he had, like, such a great personality. So I was like, why are they making him, like, only talk about his dog? Like,
because he did talk about his dog a lot.
And no one really liked him. And I'm like, to me, he was, like, one of the best and the cutest guys there. So I thought that was funny.
I remember sitting behind the bar asking all the girls, who's the hottest guy here? And
they were like, you, unfortunately.
Why unfortunately?
Because you were undateable.
Okay.
I don't know, Love. I thought you were going to be the Bachelor. I literally bet Charles about it. I lost that bet.
Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint.
I was, like, positive about it.
Yeah. I didn't happen.
But maybe next
You're
time.
Definitely runner-up.
No.
Yeah, always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Same here.
But I remember asking everybody, and literally everyone said, Ben Z is the best looking guy here.
No,
yeah,
Dean
yes.
was 1,000.
Sure.
Dean is
We
1,
know
000.
How you feel about yeah. Dean. He is a beautiful man. I will be the first to admit that Dean.
I would have dated Dean in Paradise yeah. in a second.
God, like, he bats those big blue eyes at you, yeah. and you're just like, well, all right.
But he doesn't wash his hands, which still creeps me out. Erica, we really.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. We have to tell the audience this.
What?
Okay, so when we were in Vegas, people were like, no, Wells said, would you rather lick a poker chip that's been played with all day long
yeah.
or put Dean's unwashed finger in your mouth?
He doesn't wash his hands after doo-doos.
Yeah, I know. So
let's
then,
just say it.
Yeah.
I know.
That's weird.
So I was like, of course. I was like, I'm going to put Dean's finger in my mouth. And then you were like, and you were like, the only reason that anybody would choose that is because of his face.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
No, it's 100% right. If it was just, I don't know, if it was any other guy.
Dean put his finger in my mouth one time.
Oh, my God.
We were at Starbucks, and he was just being funny and, like, did that. You know how people stick their finger in your mouth, and they go, like, la, 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 or whatever?
Yeah, well, now you're patient zero.
Yeah.
I know.
And you haven't had a solid bowel movement since. Anyways,
so
Erica,
funny.
We're learning a ton from you today, from kissing to your recent engagement, which we're so happy about.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the Almost Famous podcast. Ashley, Wells, and I appreciate
Thanks
you.
For having me.
Hey, good luck coming up. Yeah, you're awesome. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
So Erica has a big day coming up. As she plans for that big day, she's going to be using a registry that
yes.
we appreciate, and I hope, and I will point her because she'll be listening to Zola. Ashley, tell Erica and all of our beautiful listeners out there about Zola.
Zola is a wedding registry that will do anything for love. Couples can register for the brands that they actually want on an easy-to-use platform with the ability to personalize everything from notes to photos that just feels like them. Zola is a one-stop registry where you can get sheets, a wine subscription, honeymoon funds, all that good stuff. And they work with 450 plus brands so that the happy couple can find whatever they want. Anything like KitchenAid, SoulCycle, Ralph Lauren, basically like anything you can think of that you want to be gifted, this site has. They also have it set up so that couples can have the gifts shipped to them now, later, or exchange them. They can have multiple guests contribute to bigger ticket items like a honeymoon, and you can export a list of your gifts and senders so that you can do your thank you cards, and your thank you cards are so much easier because you have like a database of your gifters. So what you got to do if you are an engaged couple or you know anyone who is engaged and looking for the perfect wedding registry, they're going to have to head to Zola.com/almostfamous. For details, that is Zola/almostfamous, and they will receive $50 when they register under Almost Famous. Almost Famous. How cool is that?
Hey, everybody. This is our last segment with Wells Adams. He has been a special guest. Thank you for coming in today, Wells. We want to talk real quick. All of us are in Los Angeles because I just participated in one of the most fun shows I have ever been a part of. And that was Lip Sync Battle this week. So I was on Lip Sync Battle this week. Ashley and Wells were there to watch.
We're there for emotional and moral support.
Was that it? Because
yes.
I needed a lot of it. I sold myself to this show. when this show comes out, I think it's going to be in February.
Yeah.
People better be ready to see some things happening
yeah.
That I don't know if I want to watch back.
Oh.
Well, as a man who was in the stands watching it, it was truly a beautiful sight to behold.
I still had eyeliner on my eyes this morning.
I think you should have kept it on. There's nothing I like more than guyliner.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wells, you look damn good in it.
Oh, I don't know. But anyways, last night was so amazing seeing you perform. Amazing. Like, seriously.
Was it fun?
I absolutely lost my mind. And then I also got to stand next to Chrissy Teigen, which is pretty great.
I became friends with Chrissy Teigen.
Did you?
I was going to one-up you there.
Did you get her digits?
No.
Oh.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. You told us that. Yeah.
You literally walked in this morning and you're like, I got Chrissy Teigen's digits. I'm like,
my new best friend. Because we both have bunions. That's why she gave me her number.
Is why?
Because we both have bunions.
I remember we had a Vegas conversation about bunions.
Oh my God, we did. So my sister is convinced that guys don't like, they like me for a little bit and then they see my bunions and then they're like, oh, never mind. And she was like, Ashley, Wells and Jared just saw your bunions. And then it was goodbye from there.
Oh, no.
So Chrissy.
That's not true, right, Wells?
No, not at all. I think it was when she told me that Hanson was her favorite band.
Well, I told Wells last night that I'm really thankful that I told him that and that it was aired because Isaac Hanson DM'd me on Twitter this week. He was like, hey, Ashley, what show are you coming to? Like, can I get you tickets and passes? I'm like, what is my life?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to you yesterday. What's so awesome is that, like, when you dance and you do the creepy higgy, and I Instagram story it, I get so many comments that are like, I'm so glad that you're showing this other side of Ben and that he's just, like, kind of free. Because when you were on The Bachelor, he was, like, more stiff. But now he's just showing his fun side. And I'm glad that everybody's starting to learn that about you.
I guess I am, too. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Is that show really allowed me, I think, last night, or just to loosen up, to be free. The Bachelor is a weird experience, and we're going to talk to somebody here coming up who actually found love on The Bachelor. But The Bachelor is hard because you are pursuing a long lifetime partner, like a long time. And being The Bachelor is stressful, and I think I took it very serious because it felt very serious to me.
As you should.
Yeah. But now coming off of it, it's like I do, in a way, wish I had more fun, laughed a little bit more, loosened up a little bit. I just couldn't. I literally could never get in a space in that show where I felt comfortable just being me. And I guess it took some
LL Cool J.
LL Cool J to bring that out of me. Wells, thank you so much for coming into town. Thank you for your support last night. Thank you for coming on the podcast today. We appreciate it. Wells Adams, everybody.
Wait, I'm not done. You guys, I've had like the best two weekends with you guys. It's just, I love you so much. Last night was just another night where I was just like, my life is awesome. Like, we have such a good time together.
Really.
So good.
It's a good crew.
We have the greatest friends.
It's really great. We've had a blast, and it's been real fun. It's not bachelor fun. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not this. I mean, obviously, we're doing things that are pretty cool and come from being on the show. But it's just like good memories that are friendship memories and not fake. And I think that's the best part about the last couple weekends.
Yeah.
Peter sent a text out to our group after the Vegas tragedy last night and just said, "Hey, I want to let you guys all know. Last weekend was a great memory for me. It was amazing to be with all of you." And I love you guys. And he ended it with, I love you guys. And that, I think that's coming from a place where it's genuine and legitimate and authentic. It's just saying, hey, like, we've experienced some awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that in the face of a terrible tragedy. Because we're becoming real solid friends. And last night, your support there was incredible. So thank you for your support. And Wells, thanks for coming on Almost Famous Podcast. We appreciate
thanks
you.
Thanks for having
thanks,
me, guys.
Thanks, Wells. You really enhanced the episode.
So the guest that has found love on The Bachelor franchise, one of our favorite people from The Bachelor franchise, is now on the line. We got Carly Waddell, who is no longer
Carly Waddell. She is Carly Bass.
Carly Bass, are you out there?
I haven't changed my name yet, but I will change my name.
Wait, what's that?
Oh,
please,
you haven't changed it yet.
No, but I'm going to. I'm just like, the thought of doing it, it's like a lot of paperwork.
Oh, really? You're already in my phone as Carly Bass, and it makes me smile.
Well, I think, like, the world should know me as that. I'll just legally do it, like, before I have this baby come out of me.
Okay, well, let's start with that. I was going to start with your soccer story, but I feel like we should talk about the baby. How has your first, you know, you're in your second trimester, well into it now.
I'm halfway.
You're halfway there?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Holy moly.
Is the bump showing?
You know, and not really. Every single time I see people, they're like, oh my gosh, you're not showing at all. But I feel like I'm showing. But I don't think I really am.
So what point, I mean, this is something I need to learn. At what point in pregnancy do people start to show?
I think it depends on your body. And it depends on if you've had a baby before, you show earlier the second go round, but obviously I haven't. So I'm 20 weeks right now, and I'm like just starting to show, but it also kind of looks like I just drank a lot of beer last week.
Well, now's the time. I guess now's not the time not to do that. So you're making up for it by having a little baby
in
your stomach. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to be a mother?
I mean, yeah, I kind of already am. So
that's a good point. Yeah. So tell us about that. How is that transition?
It's nuts. Like, boys are a lot, but it's also really fun. Evan and I didn't live together with the boys before we got married. So now we're all kind of figuring out how to live together, which is like a wild and crazy experience. Where mostly I'm like, the dishes don't get clean when they're sitting in the sink, guys. They get clean in the dishwasher.
Yes.
But then a lot of also just fun and laughter, and it's great.
So Evan brought so tell us a little bit about the situation, the family dynamic here. Evan has had how many kids previous to you?
Three kids. Oh. So he has three boys.
So you're gonna have a four person household.
But this is a girl.
But this is a girl.
So I need to know how good of a father you think that Evan's going to be for a girl, because I literally think he was born to be a father of a girl.
Oh my gosh. I know. He every single time, even last night, the baby moves around a lot at night when I lay down. And so last night I was like, okay, put your hand, she's moving a lot. And every single time he puts his hand on my stomach, she moves more, which I think is wild. She loves him already. But he teared up and he's like, I'm so excited. He can't wait. He went out and bought this little thing that said daddy's little girl already. And he's just over the moon.
What a little mushball he is.
No, he totally is. He's way more sensitive and way more mushy than me. Mm-hmm. So I know that he thinks he's going to be the disciplinarian, and I know he's just going to be you can have whatever you want, just like I am with my dog. I know what he's going to do.
So how are the brothers going to be?
Oh my gosh, they're so excited. They're really good with little kids, especially the middle child, Liam, is he loves babies just like Evan does. And so every single time we're around a baby, he's going over and playing with it and holding it and loving on it. And they're going to be the best.
I got to ask you, because I think your situation is such a beautiful story. I mean, it is such an amazing story from start to finish, how you met, on this show, but it is a little weird, but it's really cool that life can work its way out this way. I need to know, though, the transition to having children, to bringing kids into your life, to being a mother, right? You are kind of you are telling the boys now, it sounds like, hey, pick up your dirty clothes, wash the dishes.
Right.
How has that been for you personally and for you and Evan as a couple?
I feel like I kind of didn't know my role coming in. And so I think we're kind of trying to figure out, what my role is. Mostly I go to Evan and I'm like, can you tell them to clean up, or can you tell them to do this? And now I'm kind of transitioning to be okay guys, we know each other very well now. It's time to take your trash out of the car. But I mean, it's been interesting. It's been kind of a whirlwind. I at first just kind of felt I didn't really know my place.
Mm-hmm.
And now, we moved into a new place all together. It's new for everybody. I think that kind of helped, because it's new for everybody and no one really knows their place in this new house. So we're just kind of figuring it out all together, which I think is really important. But I mean, it's been a whirlwind. We've had hard times. We've had fantastic times.
Sure.
I think the thing is, we just kind of hold hands as a family and just get through it.
That's awesome. No, that's great.
You can do.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I have zero doubt that it would be difficult, but difficulty isn't always bad.
Right, and it brings us all way closer, too.
Hey, Carly. So Jade just had a baby. I think she's going to be 6 weeks on Thursday.
Also, is that the most beautiful baby you've ever seen? Like, what?
I mean,
of course Jade and Tanner would have a beautiful baby. Look at them. They're just beautiful people.
When I saw the baby for the first time, I, of course, started crying. And I'm like, I'm going to be obsessed with my own child. And I want my own children. But, like, I don't really get, like, the goo-goo gaga over kids. I get that way about dogs.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. So, but then when I saw Jade and Tanner's baby and heard that they had it, like, I just started crying. And I feel so attached to this child as I will feel as yours because, you know, I saw you guys meet. I saw you guys get engaged. I was there when you got married. And now with had a baby. And it was funny because with Jade and Tanner, all of us were actually on vacation together when they conceived.
So cool.
So has Jade given you any advice for like childbirth or just getting through this pregnancy and how it is to have an infant?
Well, like, you know, Jade did it completely naturally.
She's a freak.
She's a freak. No offense. Wonder Woman. Like, I'm going in and getting all the drugs that they could possibly give me. I was like, Jade, you're Wonder Woman. You're the bravest person I know. Like, I'm going to do the opposite of what you did because I'm terrified. Like, Jade was so calm even going into, like, the idea of having a baby. She loved the idea of that. I've always been, like, terrified of,
me
like,
too.
It coming out of me.
Oh, me too.
I don't know what about that would terrify you.
We were at Jade's baby shower, and we were talking about the horror of giving birth. And Carly was sitting across from me with a very suspicious face, and I'm like, okay.
Something's happening.
Then I looked down at her drink, and it was just water in it, and I really pissed her off by calling it out.
You called it out?
Yeah.
Ashley.
Yes, in front of everybody.
Well, Ashley.
She was like, Carly, no, her and Lauren were like, hey, Carly, if you pound the champagne in front of you, then we won't tell everybody that you're pregnant. And I was like,
Ashley, that's terrible.
So much right now.
That is absolutely terrible.
She came out with it like 3 weeks later.
I mean, I'm over it now, but I didn't feel good that day at all. Like, it took everything in me to even get through the day.
Ugh.
And then I was like, and I'm also maybe going to murder Ashley, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean.
You smiled through the anger.
As you do.
Well, I think Ashley just feels very close to the situation because she has seen, I mean, that's a cool part about Paradise. You get an up close and front row view at a love story. And you're one of most beautiful love stories that any of us have watched in the show. We're excited to see this family dynamic come together. I think that's an exciting thing for us to see. It's interesting to me as I thought about your relationship with Evan coming into the show today. Is that the dynamic that now you're a mother of three, soon to be four? So my question is, are you like a real life soccer mom now? Or, I mean, are you bringing kids around? Are you running them? Are you a full time mother?
I mean, I bought a soccer mom car.
Perfect. Good start.
What's that?
When we got together, I was like, okay, I'm gonna get a soccer mom car because I know I'm going to need it eventually, which that has become our family vehicle. I have a Nissan Rogue now, and I'm a full-on soccer mom.
I love a Nissan Rogue. So easy to drive.
I do, too. But I'm, you know, Evan still does the bulk of the picking up and the dropping off, especially since I've been sick. Like, I was very sick throughout my pregnancy so far. But, I mean, you know, if Evan can't pick somebody up, I'm there to pick him up, you know. Evan has meetings all the time, and, like, one of the kids doesn't have school on Mondays ever. So, like, I'll hang out with him on on Monday. But, I mean, the kids, like, if I show up at school, they also expect to see me at school. It's either or.
That's awesome.
It's not like, what's Carly doing here? It's always like, oh, okay, hey, Carly.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And, I mean, it is. It's this awesome family that you guys are forming. We heard you have a really interesting story about a soccer referee. Can you tell us about it?
Oh, my gosh. So the kids, two of the kids are, like, super into soccer, and it's their first year playing club travel soccer.
Okay.
So it's even new for Evan. It's new for, like, two of the boys. And these parents are just, like, oh, my God. They're so into it. Like, their life revolves around soccer. Like, they don't even make plans on the weekend because they'll just throw soccer games in the mix. And we're like, oh, okay, now we can't go out of town because we have two soccer games. And if you miss soccer games, they get so mad.
So yesterday, we're at this game, and it's like the championship. There's like five different tournaments, like a championship. And one of the kids who is the, like, team captain mom's son and this other kid getting some, like, I don't know, but there's like a foul on the field. So the ref, who I think is probably 18 years old, and these kids are 12 that are gives this kid a red card, which apparently is something you never, ever do in club soccer with 12-year-olds. It's like, what's happening here? And the parents were, like, on fire. I've never seen, like, there was one guy that was screaming, Brad, you're such a loser! And this mom was screaming, like, there's no red cards allowed in this. This is, like, children's soccer. And so I guess what happened was one kid ran into the other kid, and the ref called a foul on him. And then the kid, like, cussed out the ref.
Oh.
And so then he pulled a red card. But we didn't know that. We just heard all these parents screaming. And so finally we find out that this kid is, like, cussed these people out, or this ref out. And the mom of this kid is like, I don't even know where he learned to do something like that. He's just using colorful adjectives. And we're sitting there like, I'm like, oh my gosh, he learned from you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny.
He
needs a it sounds like he needs a Carly and Evan in his life.
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing. And we're just sitting there. And of course, you know, I'm like shooting an Instagram story of the whole thing because it was so funny. Evan and I are just silent. But then later I was like, oh my gosh, I have to delete these ones of like people's faces. Because.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you know, these parents are going to call Evan and be like, your kid is not allowed to play on the soccer team anymore.
So funny.
But it was nuts. Like, these parents, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally a soccer mom. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. You're learning the ways. You know, Carly, we appreciate you coming on the podcast. And it just seems like between soccer season, the addition of three kids into your life, a new husband and a baby on the way, you have all the material for a really great song to be written, and I think you're just the person to do it very soon. Carly, we appreciate you coming on the Almost Famous podcast, telling us your story. We wish you the best of luck, and we will be calling you back as soon as this baby's born, and making sure to distract you even more from the crazy life that you're now living.
All right, well, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Carly.
So, bye.
So Carly's really busy in the fall, and you know what happens in the fall?
What?
A new FabFitFun box.
Oh my gosh,
I'm telling you,
that's
crazy, isn't it? We're coming in the fall season. It's soccer season, like Carly said. And while it's soccer season, everybody's running around all the time. You don't have a lot of time to go shopping for your favorite goods, your favorite items. But I tell you one way you can get them, and that's with FabFitFun. Here's the deal. The seasonal fall box is out there. All the products in this box are full size. You're not getting your little samplers. No, this is the real deal. You get a girthy thing of lotion. You get a scarf.
Girthy thing.
You get your private gym bag.
Can I talk about how comfy that scarf is?
I mean, if you liked it.
It is so comfy. I'm sleeping with it now on the regular. And it's worth $98. And it comes in a box that's going to be $39.99.
That's not true. That's $49.99.
Not when you use our code.
Are you kidding me? Okay, here's the deal. So as Ashley said, most of the time when you buy these boxes, it's $49.99. The value inside these boxes are $200 plus. We're not kidding, right? In addition to all the stuff that we just talked about and the comfy scarf that Ashley loves, you also get one of Ashley's other favorite items, and that's hot and cold gel packs that she puts in her eyes. I just learned this about
her. Yes, yes.
Yeah, you put them on your eyes, and it brings down the swelling or something.
Yeah.
So this box has a lot of value. We could go on and on about it. So if you'd like a FabFitFun box, if you don't want to pay $49.99, that's okay. Because if you use the code ALMOSTFAMOUS, you get $10 off your first box. So go to FabFitFun.com with the coupon code ALMOSTFAMOUS. You're only going to pay $39.99. That's a $200 value per box. It's worth it. Go do it. If you don't, you're going to waste your money on something else. So just buy a box.
All right, you guys, we have one of the juiciest segments we've had on this podcast. We have a disguised caller, an anonymous caller, that has information on one of Ari's girls. Uh-oh. So we're going to get the dirt out of her, and I am so excited.
All right, the caller's on line 5. Her voice has been disguised. Bring her on.
We'll call you Anonymous Girl. Hello, Anonymous Girl.
Hi, how are you guys?
So please tell us, who do you have information on?
Can't say names, but I mean, when the show airs, everybody's going to know who she is because she's like the youngest one.
How young are we talking?
That's what I'm asking. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's 35, she's 23.
Why?
But she's ready for love.
That's my point. And she was married last year and divorced within like 6 months.
No.
So I know her from high school and college. I lived next to her in our college apartment. We like run in the same group of people. Before she went on, she's been talking about being on The Bachelor for years. Like, that's just something she's always wanted to do. And so she made it very well known that she was going on to further her career and to become well known and be a part of like the Bachelor franchise. And she just wants people to know who she is and to become
almost famous. She wanted to become almost famous.
Yeah. Exactly. She wants to become almost famous. So, I know the type of person she is, and she's, whether she perceives herself as good or bad on the show, I don't think she cares. She just wants to be known.
Do you think that she's going to get Ari's attention in a big way?
Yeah, probably. Like, I was hoping that she would just kind of, like, be disguised and, like, fly under the radar and no one would really know who she was and she'd get kicked off super early. But, I mean, I know her better than that to know that she is going to, like, make herself known on this show.
Here's my question for you. There's obviously some feelings here from you that you don't think she's ready for this, or she's not here for... Wait for it.
The right reasons.
So am I correct in saying that, or do you?
Yeah. No, you're correct. You're definitely correct. I mean, for the fact that she was married and divorced within the past year, I just don't think that she should be trying, like, on a dating show. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, Ari is 35. She's 23. I just don't. Like, he's really in this for love, it seems like, and she's not.
I mean, I think the 12-year age, wait, they're 12-year age difference. I think, yeah, the 12-year age difference is just fine. But I think if it's between a 23-year-old and a 35-year-old, there's a big life gap in there. Mm-hmm. I think if they were 30 and 42, then that's no biggie.
Yeah, there's a big maturity difference. And she has a marriage that lasted 6 months. And her ex-husband's family is very wealthy and they're like prominent people from where we're from, and so I think she married him more for his name than for him, which is why I think it failed.
And I honestly, I'm sitting here talking to you, I have no clue who this is. I don't even know who you are. You're an anonymous caller. That's what I know your name as. I don't have any idea why they got a divorce. You know, marriages break and tragedy happens all the time, and that's sad, and it stinks, and I hope that through that, good things can happen. However, it is it brings up a topic we've talked about a lot on the show, is how much time do you take post-breakup to get back with somebody? How is there a time period for healing? I would imagine after a marriage, it's a little bit harder to heal than it is just after a normal breakup.
It seems like this girl married for the wrong reasons, so I don't know if her post-breakup like rest is going to be as long.
Yeah, but
as
we don't know
rest.
That. I mean, maybe she really loved this guy.
You're,
you know,
right.
I know that they were high school sweethearts, so like obviously they did. You know, like I'm sure they loved each other, and she still like was trying to get in contact with him up until she left, and so I don't know like if anything happened there. But I mean, I am married currently, and I know that if I got divorced, I would not like 3 months later decide to go and audition for The Bachelor to go and try and date someone who wants to get married. Like, you know, you need healing time. You need time for yourself to kind of figure out who you are without this person you've just spent so much time with and been committed to. And I just don't think she took enough time. I mean, and the fact that she was like, she wasn't,
hiding it. She was being very open with people that she was going on to further her career and to become well known.
What does she want to do with her career?
I was going to say, I mean, I did this. If I would have done this to further my career, now I'm sitting in a studio talking with Ashley for a living. This is
pretty cool.
Big things have happened in my life. Yeah.
But yeah, what kind of career does she want?
So she is a freelance model. She does like some modeling shoots here in Utah and where she's from. And then she has like this photography business that, I mean, it's just all local. So everything she does is just locally.
So here's the deal. All of our listeners out there, when Ari's show starts airing, we'll be looking now for the 23-year-old woman that gets out of the car with future social influencer as the job title under her name. Thank you, anonymous caller, for coming on the Almost Famous podcast with Ashley and I to speak about our new segment that will be airing once Ari's season starts, The Right Reasons Police. Yeah. The investigation starts now.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
So this has been an interesting show so far. I've had a lot of fun with it.
I've loved this show.
It's helped pick up my spirits from a tragedy that really did kind of bring us down. And I'm sure once we walk out of the studio, the news will show and life will reality will start to sink in again. But it is good to take a few moments of our day to step away, laugh a little bit, and have a little fun. And one of my favorite callers of the day was Erica Rose. And Erica Rose is a self-proclaimed kissing expert, and her advice was that she likes to touch the face, which freaks me out because there's so much oil on your hands that think it's on your face, and there's only one really good way to get rid of that oil.
Oh my gosh, and that is with BioClarity. BioClarity is delivered straight to your door, and it is an easy, twice-daily, three-step system that is natural. That means there's no harsh chemicals. BioClarity helps maintain clear skin to make you feel confident and ready to take on your day. It's suitable for all skin types. It is dermatologist-developed, tested, and recommended. It is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, gluten-free, and paraben-free. It's a three-step, easy system. First, you're going to cleanse with a rich, foaming facial cleanser that removes that gross dirt and oil and environmental pollutants that you're going to get if somebody touches your face while kissing. And then you're going to treat it. This is going to penetrate your pores and attack the bacteria that will cause acne, and it's going to clear up your skin. And then you're going to restore. The Restore Gel leaves your skin feeling smooth and refreshed. Ain't that right, Ben?
I love some fresh skin. I love myself feeling fresh. When I put BioClarity in my face, I've never felt more pretty.
Oh, well, your skin is looking fantastic. Nobody must be touching that.
Oh, Ashley, I'm blushing.
Our listeners are going to get their first month for only $9.95 plus free shipping. That is a $20 savings, and it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. But you have to enter our code, which is FAMOUS. And they have new packaging, so it may not look like the same old BioClarity, but it is, and it just looks a lot prettier. So head over to BioClarity.com and use our code FAMOUS.
If you've got how to spell FAMOUS, it's F-A-O. Oh, sorry. That's not how you spell FAMOUS. It's F-A-M-O-U-S. Hey, everybody. Today has been a fun show. Go out. Support your local blood banks. People need you. Do the small things to make a big difference. And I also want to take a second here because this is a podcast that I do invest a lot of time in. I do have a lot of fun with, and I'm going to give a little shout out to something that launched this week that I've been working on. It's called Generous International. We operate as Generous Coffee Company. Generous Coffee Company is an organization that we purchase coffee from third world countries. We export it into the United States. We package and we ship from different locations in the United States. And when we sell this coffee, and you can go to generousmovement.com to buy the coffee, all profits from the sale of coffee are going back to organizations in these third world countries that are investing in community development and sustainability plans. This is a passion project for me. It's one that I'm very excited about. It's one that I feel called to. So if you drink coffee and you want to make a difference, if you want to be generous with the choices that you make in your consumption, then please go to generousmovement.com and buy a bunch of bags of coffee today. With that, we want to thank Erica Rose, Wells Adams, the twins, Emily and Haley, and Carly Waddell, soon to be Bass.
Well,
maybe already
currently
Bass,
but you know.
For coming on the show today. It was a good way to take our minds off of a terrible tragedy. And like I said, please go to your local blood bank and make a difference.
And go check out those GoFundMes. Next week, we're going to have Vinny, and we're going to find out who the heck he is, even though I totally know who he is.
But I have a lot of questions about who Vinny is.
But he does have a lot of, he has a lot of questions about his soul.
Hey, everybody. This has been the Almost Famous Podcast. I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
And we appreciate...
We appreciate you so much. Oh, we really, really appreciate you. We thank you so much for all the kind and not kind reviews that you've been giving to us lately. The iTunes reviews have been just so wonderful, and we've been reading them all, and we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Like, we just don't understand how you guys like to listen to us, but we love that you do.
I put a lot in on myself. I just got in there and started typing away. So. All right. Hey, thanks, everybody.
Love you. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.